This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, it's Mraz. It's the Best of the DA Show from a Wednesday, which includes reaction to the latest college football playoff rankings. We look ahead to the start of the 12 DAs of Christmas. Nikola Jokic with a weird comment about playing in Serbia. It's the Best of the DA Show now.
Georgia, speaking of unbelievably historically great regular seasons and dreams of a long sought after yet elusive championship, that describes the Bulldogs perfectly. And they've got their arch nemesis, the team that they simply cannot get over the hump on, Alabama, coming in here wounded. And I say here being the SEC championship game. But playoff seeding and playoff spots and who's in, who's out, and Nick Saban's Crimson Tide potentially being home for the playoff, all of that boils into this SEC title game. So Jamie's going to be great to have on to talk about that. Coming up in 20, Patriots media might not be as high as national media on the quarterback, Mac Jones. In a cruel twist of mothership fate, Mraz's fate may lie in the hands and the neck of one Doug Funny. We'll talk about the Notre Dame coaching situation and who could be candidates there. People have pointed to Urban Meyer. Is that legitimate? RG3 is threatening to take down everything in Washington. And we'll talk about one of the coolest football stories, maybe any high school athletic story in years, which came to us courtesy of the Buccaneers locker room and a Michigan high school team. All of that coming up this morning on the show. Plus, we are sprinkling throughout the morning all of these 12 DA teasers. I love these because the 12 DAs of Christmas are going to debut tomorrow morning with first four out, okay? But we wanted to reset and remind so many of you, including us, of some of the moments that maybe you didn't even realize were in this year and were eligible for the 12 DAs, because it has been a weird and wild and wonky year, 2021. So we are going to do that all throughout the morning, giving you some snippets from the year that was, so you know what was considered for the 12 DAs of Christmas. If you want to jump in on any of those topics, hit us up at 855-212-4CBS on the phones, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, hit me up, follow me and tweet at me there, DA on CBS. And if you were interested in what the sights and sounds of last night's MLS playoff game were all about, it was amazing to be on the game, on the sidelines rather, before the game, and to kind of really soak in the crowd. That's part of my Instagram story. I posted a bunch of video and pictures and sounds from last night. You can follow me on Instagram at Damon Amendo. Again, that's at Damon Amendo on Instagram. We begin with the college football playoff rankings, which come out last night. And number one, unsurprisingly, is Georgia. Number two, unsurprisingly, is Michigan, who flips into the Ohio State spot after beating the Buckeyes last Saturday. Three, I was surprised. I thought that's where Cincinnati would move up to after a good win over East Carolina. Instead, they stay at four. Alabama stays at three. Now, I've got thoughts on that, but Bama stays at three. Cincy stays at four. And then the rankings had a decision to make on Notre Dame. Would they push Notre Dame, a one-loss team whose only L, as we know, is right there to one of the four best in the country, Cincinnati? Would they slide them into five or keep it at six? Would they have Notre Dame poking over the shoulder of the Bearcats last night? The decision by the committee was to put Oklahoma State, after their win in Bedlam, at 11-1, at five, and Notre Dame at six. And the question last night was, did Gary Barta and the committee penalize Notre Dame, not move them up to five, because Brian Kelly had just left the program? It is where we begin, your cold open.
In my 14 years, this program has never been in better shape. We have never been in a better position to take the next step in building this program into a consistent contender for national championships. And I am excited with the opportunity to attract the next leader to do that. We haven't made a decision on an interim yet. And frankly, I think we may approach it a little bit differently. This staff is so well structured and the responsibilities are so well understood. I feel less of a need to have a designated interim.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Now that's Jack Swarbrick, the AD of Notre Dame. And we're going to get more into his comments later on in the show because, interestingly, he said he was not surprised Brian Kelly left. It felt like everybody else was surprised, but apparently the AD was not. But do I think the committee penalized Notre Dame last night because Brian Kelly left? I don't. Barta said they didn't. Barta said their decision had been made to put Notre Dame at six following their blowout win over Stanford before the Brian Kelly news, and that the Brian Kelly news didn't affect where they landed last night. Again, they're at six, not five. But I'll tell you this, while the committee may not have used that against Notre Dame last night, they will if it comes to a spot in the playoff after Saturday. They will. They didn't last night. They will, though. Here's why. Ultimately, the committee uses whatever metrics it wants to get to its four best teams. And Barta admitted last night, if there's a player, a star player that goes down with an injury, quarterback, running back, somebody that has a huge impact on the game, on the team, goes down with an injury and will not play for the rest of the season, they'll utilize that and they'll ding that team, saying that, well, they're not the same team. They'll use that against Notre Dame. They will. They will use that against Notre Dame. Now, let me tell you this. The committee is also interested in building the best television show with the best ratings and the most interest. And so Notre Dame usually does well in those regards. If you're trying to build a TV show that has interest, heroes, villains, polarizing schools, Notre Dame's brand, its history, its legacy, its lineage does very well on TV. That's why NBC pays for just Notre Dame games. That's why one network says we'll pay one school all of our money because that school brings that panache. So the committee likes when Notre Dame's in the football Final Four. But without Brian Kelly on the sideline, if there is an interim coach, they do lose some of that juice. They do. Let's face it. And the committee would weigh that in. So, look, I think it's a long shot that Notre Dame makes the Final Four anyway, and here's the biggest reason. It's not because Brian Kelly's not on the sideline. It's not because they would punish Notre Dame for not having their head coach. It's because they don't play a game this weekend. It's because the other teams have a chance here to stabilize and support their bid, and Notre Dame's got to watch on the sidelines. And Notre Dame's not in the Final Four right now and just has to hope that things stay status quo. They're on the outside looking in. So they need Cincinnati to lose this football game. They got to hope the Bearcats lose because, look, an undefeated Bearcats team can't get in with a win over Notre Dame. Can't be left out, rather, with a win over Notre Dame and the Irish hop them. So they can't help that there. Oklahoma State, with a win against a top 10 team in Baylor, who are already ahead of Notre Dame, Notre Dame can't hop them either if the Pokes win. So that's two teams ahead of them that they just can't control. Now, could there be chaos? Could Cincy lose? Could Oklahoma State lose to Baylor? And then that opens up the door for Notre Dame? Sure. Yes. But I think that's too many ifs and possibilities that would need to come true for the Irish to make it. And then on top of that, the committee would have to say, and the Irish are still one of the four best teams of the country despite losing their coach. I doubt that's going to happen. And so I don't think they penalized Notre Dame last night. I do think they would going into the Final Four. But the biggest mark against Notre Dame is they don't play another game. And the teams ahead of them do. We begin with the Urban Meyer connection to the opening at Notre Dame. Now, Urban Meyer was a six-year assistant coach in South Bend. Obviously, we've seen him lurking around the bushes, the peeping Tom of college football for years. You never know when he's going to pop out from behind a car. But right now, of course, he is employed by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Because of everybody speculating whether he would have interest in coming back to the college game, where he has had obviously a lot of success, Urban Meyer said he has no interest. In a conference call, he said, "I'm not a candidate. Obviously, I spent 6 years of my life there. Great respect for Notre Dame, as I do USC, UCLA, like we talked about. But I'm committed to the Jaguars and doing the best we can to turn this thing around." Can we believe Urban Meyer? No! Man, the day you believe or trust Urban Meyer is the day I got a bridge to sell you. That doesn't mean he's coming back. I'm not saying Urban Meyer is the next head coach of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. What I'm saying is don't ever believe anything Urban Meyer says. That's the first key to Fight Club. Meyer goes as Meyer wants to ethically. Meyer has selective morality. Meyer says what he needs to say at any given point in time to make it good for Urban Meyer. That's it. That's the end of discussion. And look, none of these coaches have handled this very well. I do have some sympathy for them because I'm not sure how you handle this. You know you're leaving or you know you're talking to a prospective job and you're asked about it publicly every day or weekly. And so what is the response? It's kind of interesting. No coach has ever nailed this. There's been no coach ever that has found what the winning formula is here for potentially taking another job and being asked about that job during your previous employment. And I'm not sure I've got a better set of answers. I mean, let's just take Lincoln Riley, for example. Lincoln Riley was asked, "Are you interested in the LSU job?" Address the rumors. He says, "I'm not going to be the next head coach at LSU." He wasn't lying. Now, had he had a follow-up question, "Will you be the next head coach at USC?" What would he have said? Could he have said, "No, I'm not going to be," and then taken the job the next day and look like a complete liar and just said, "I had to do what I had to do at the time"? Or does he say, Look, I'm not going to address every single rumor here. It's not productive. Or does he just say, yes, you got me. Tomorrow we're announcing I got the USC job. I'm not sure there is a right answer here. But when Urban Meyer says, I'm committed to this team, I mean, look, that's what you say today until you take a job somewhere else. That's the answer. Now, Luke Fickell is kind of starting to create what could be the blueprint, which is this, I'm only focused on my team. I haven't even heard the noise. I'm not paying attention to anything out there, so I can't even address that. You know, this kind of like pleading ignorance. You know, I'm just so focused on my team right now. I'm not even hearing that, so I'm just head of the sand. That's on me. That's my personality. So, you know, there's really nothing for me to say. Now, that's a non-answer that's cloaked as, I'm such a hard worker. I'm so locked in that it's not supposed to be a lie, but it might be. I mean, it's kind of a lie on its face because we know that Luke Fickell knows everything that's happening. He's not a guy that has his head buried so far in the sand. He doesn't know that Brian Kelly's the new head coach at LSU. He obviously gets text messages from his assistant coaches, his friends, his family, other media members about Lincoln Riley taking the USC job. Clearly, he's aware that he is a high-profile candidate for the Notre Dame job and probably their number one candidate. He's been aware for years that other schools want him. He's had job offers a number of times. His agent clearly is peddling between Notre Dame and Cincinnati to see if he can get a raise or else his agent wouldn't be doing his job. So it's clearly a lie, but it's an odd answer that can kind of stand up in court. Hey, man, I'm just focused on my job here, so there's really nothing for me to say. Okay. So when Urban Meyer says, I'm committed to this team, I mean, look, yeah, that's kind of a lie cloaked in a non-answer. It's, all right, yeah, we know that you're focused on your team because you're in the middle of a season. That's a given. Every head coach is focused on the game at hand. And when he says, I'm not a candidate, what does that really mean? Does it mean that he pulled himself out of the candidacy? That Notre Dame reached out to his agent and said, are you interested? And he said no. Or is that he got wind from Notre Dame via his agent that they're not interested? And so thus he can say, I'm not a candidate here, guys. I'm just committed to the Jaguars. I mean, all of this is kind of like verbal gymnastics. But do I believe Urban Meyer has no interest in the Notre Dame job? Of course not. Do I believe anything that he says? No. Now, is there a universe where he's not interested and he just wants to be the Jaguars head coach? Yeah, I mean, and that could be this universe. This could be this part of the Marvel universe where he's getting paid handsomely. He feels like he's done it all in college, so why go back? This is his last challenge. And he understands if he leaves now after year number one for Notre Dame, then his reputation's always going to be crap, especially with the whole grabbing the girl's butt earlier in the season storyline, that he'd just be a complete punchline and clown show around football circles and certainly in the NFL for the rest of his life. He doesn't want to be that. So he wants to at least be there 3 years, get him from 3 wins to 6 wins to 8 wins or something like that, and know that if he wants to go back to college, one of these jobs, a great job is going to be open when he wants to come back. That could be this year as well. But if we're asking the question, is it smart to believe what Urban Meyer says? The answer is no. No, of course not. Of course not. 855-212-4CBS. Again, 855-212-4227. I want to restate what we were talking about at the end of the last hour, and that is that of all the things that have been knives in the back of Mraz karmically, this has got to be the funniest. I mean, I can't think of another situation, Mraz, where the gods could play such a joke on you. Not us, the gods. You have clowned me for 4 years for my support of Mike Glennon, culminating last year with making me a goof t-shirt, a parody t-shirt, in the only Christmas gift you've ever bought me. Now, I'm not criticizing you for not getting me Christmas presents. I don't want them. I'm just saying you've never gotten me a gift except last year to twist the knife in my back by printing a t-shirt that said Unitas and Montana and Brady and Glennon, because I once upon a time said Mike Glennon could be a decent starting quarterback in the NFL. This has been my white whale, my punchline. This has been my cloud raining on my head. And so much so that you have printed a t-shirt about it. And then in the offseason, after you printed the t-shirt, the Giants signed Mike Glennon as Daniel Jones' backup and let Colt McCoy go. Colt McCoy goes to the Cardinals, wins 2 of 3 games over the last 3 weeks when Kyler Murray's been out, and now Mike Glennon has to ride in to save your ass because your butt is on the line with his bet of getting shirtless in the middle of January, sitting out in the street, body painted red and blue. You need Mike Glennon because Daniel Jones is out again. I mean, you could not draw this up. This is not even something that I could draw up. This could only be the gods. Mike Glennon could have signed anywhere in the offseason. And we might have never seen him had Eli Manning been the quarterback. Eli never missed a game due to injury. Daniel Jones always misses time. And now, in the heat of December, you need Mike Glennon when you've clowned him for 5 years.
I will give you another further anecdote on this script, DA, and something I've only uncovered in the last 5 minutes of research. When the news broke yesterday, November 30th, Mike Glennon likely to start big game versus the Dolphins for the Giants. November 30th, 1 year earlier, the day I constructed that t-shirt. So on the 1 year anniversary that I came up with the t-shirt to order you as a holiday present, the 1 year anniversary, the Giants, once again for the second straight year, finding themselves in a fake playoff race because everybody else sucks around them. 1 year after me mocking Glennon, I need Mike Glennon. I mean, let that sink in. It doesn't end. And it shouldn't have been a big deal, but I saw these winnable games on the Giants schedule, and I said, nobody's paying attention to this playoff race. I'm getting ahead of this. I think the Giants have a shot here. And they beat Philadelphia. They certainly have everything in front of them. They're one game back of Washington. And on the one-year anniversary of the stupid t-shirt being constructed, we get Mike Glennon starting to save me from freezing my nipples off outside of New York City with a sign and body paint. I guess I'm Roger Klotz at this point.
Doug Funny, Mike Glennon needs to ride into Mraz's rescue. So today's poll question, who would you trust more with the December critical game, Mike Glennon or Brandon Whedon?
It's not a date.
Hey, Doug, hurry or we'll miss the show.
Hey, Patty.
No two crummy quarterbacks have ever gotten more run on this show than Mike Glennon and Brandon Whedon.
We might have kept both of their careers alive.
If you needed to win a game in December, who do you vote for there? This is a really difficult question. Would you feel better if on Sunday the Giants were starting Brandon Whedon instead of Mike Glennon against the Dolphins?
Well, on one hand, Brandon Whedon is a first-round talent. On the other hand, I think I still lean Glennon. I don't feel
really
good. I do. I think I still lean Glennon. The thing is, the Giants were probably scoring 13 points in the game regardless.
Okay.
So maybe not that big a downgrade, and Whedon probably is more likely to throw you out of the game.
Can I ask you where Brandon Whedon played his college football?
Oklahoma State.
Can I ask you where Mike Glennon played his college football?
NC State.
That's correct.
How about that?
Now, Mike Glennon was a third-round pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Third round.
And couldn't hold off Jameis Winston.
You know who else was a third-rounder in 2017? Travis Kelce.
Oh, boy.
Also the Honey Badger, Tyrann Mathieu.
Wait a minute. Wait, 2017? That's not that long. It feels like Glennon's been in the league like 12 years.
I know. He was drafted in the third round by the Buccaneers, number 73 overall. That was 10 spots after Travis Kelce. That was 4 spots after the Honey Badger. That was 3 spots ahead of Keenan Allen.
Oh.
He got drafted ahead of Keenan Allen, Pro Bowl wide receiver.
So these guys been on like 5 teams since 2017 and somehow has started this many games? What a loser.
Since 2013. I'm sorry. 2013.
Okay.
Yeah, that would make sense because Travis Kelce's been in the league a lot longer than 2017.
Bogus has just barged in to tell me 2013. He was very disappointed with your facts.
So, since 2013, Mike Glennon's been on the Buccaneers, the Bears, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Jaguars, and now the Giants.
Oh, he couldn't beat out Nathan Peterman for the backup job with the Raiders, remember?
Let me also tell you this, though. Mike Glennon, you might want to have more respect. Put some respect on that name. Because Mike Glennon's touchdown to interception ratio in his NFL career, 44-27. Okay?
See, he ain't going to throw us out of this game Sunday.
It's a 2-1 nearly touchdown interception ratio. He's not that bad.
Now, the Giants haven't scored 30 points in a game in 2 years. If he lights it up versus Miami, in the weird twist, do I now take the Mike Glennon is a real franchise quarterback take from you?
It's true. It would have to be some type of Freaky Friday swap where you take the Mike Glennon could be a really good NFL quarterback. And then I have to take one of your garbage takes and adopt them.
Take your pick. There's about 40 of them. I'll tell you, I'll be all in on Glennon if the Giants make it rain. Kenny Golladay scores his first touchdown pass from Glennon and not Daniel Jones. We're not throwing him offensive tackles. I'll be all in.
You get Mike Glennon, I get Davis Webb if that happens. We are replaying some teasers going into the 12 DAs of Christmas just to get your appetites wet for tomorrow as we begin things. And let's go back to last February, where after Tom Brady won his 7th Super Bowl, he released a hype video telling all the naysayers and the haters that you got it wrong. One of those haters was a tweet by Mraz. Here it is. This was Mraz says. Mraz, you know, again, all due respect, he's a sidekick. What?
I have a big wiener in my
hand. And so it looked like from this tweet, I can only imagine if Tom Brady used Mraz's motivation, this is what he thought. Oh, somebody from CBS Sports. Oh, this guy is an NFL insider from CBS Sports. He thinks I can't do it. Well, fine, I'll show him. No, Tom, no. This is a guy that just tweets out food recipes, okay? This is just a guy who has a Giants tattoo and considers the David Tyree catch the greatest moment of his life, okay?
Not anymore, by the way. This is beating that.
right. Like, you don't...
One of the candidates for the 12 DAs of Christmas. That was actually a day that Mraz was on vacation, so that was just me and Bogues. And Bogues, remember us coming in that day? I'm not sure, actually, if he is on microphone, but...
No. He's too busy ranting and raving about you getting years wrong. He's running it.
We came in, we're like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding that the freaking hype video by Tom Brady included a Mraz tweet? It was like, this can't be real. How does Mraz find himself inserted into every single storyline? Remember how just floored we were, folks?
I mean, and we still don't have an answer. Like, we still don't know how to hold this technically against Tom Brady, whether he's got a crew scanning every possible Brady mention that he okayed this. Someone in his universe was on board with this. So that's one part of the equation. And yes, the other is all of the amazing things that you do day in and day out on this show, on social media, building this career. And then that guy is the one that gets yanked into a Tom Brady hype video that everybody sees. Like, you really, had you walked away from the show that day and said, you know what, that's enough. I've given up. There's no reason to go forward anymore. I'm going to go make candles with my wife, and that's going to be my future. I would have understood, and I might have joined you.
It's uncanny. It's just, Mraz has this uncanny ability to insert himself into everything, even when he doesn't even expect it.
Right.
And Tom Brady's, one of two things happened. Either Tom Brady scans Twitter searching for criticism of him and uses it as motivation, or his hype team, his social media team, does the same. Either one, they thought it wasn't just fans. It wasn't just like random, like, you know, Colts fans that they put in this hype video. It was media members. It was legitimate, credible media members. Like, see, you guys, the experts, never thought I could do it.
Yeah.
Somebody came across Mraz's tweet and was like, that's an expert, and he didn't believe in Brady, and this is perfect to shove it right back in his face.
And I don't, any way we say this, it's going to sound like dismissive, but like Ian Rappaport, Schefter, anyone on NFL Network, like, it makes sense that the Brady machine would be aware of them. But this is a CBS Sports Radio. I don't even know if I follow CBS Sports Radio Twitter account. And the Brady machine is on it to pull not you, not Jim Rome, not Gelb, not a Tiki or a Tierney, but not even a show clip. It's him writing a column about it, right?
Yeah, well, and I'll say this. 2013, we started the Up the Gut column and the on-air segment. Never once sponsored. Tom Brady takes it down in the hype video. We got a big sponsor this year.
Oh, that's the other thing, is that Mraz wrote this quote in an Up the Gut column that certainly included a dip recipe at the end of it.
You know what? Maybe that's how they found it. Maybe they're big dip fans, and they went there for the recipe. And, oh, by the way, they mentioned the boss here in the column. Let me keep this for later.
They wanted something to go with the dipsy doodles.
And CBS Sports Radio's Twitter account lifted the quote and tweeted it out.
French onion dip with bacon.
And Brady's team was like, oh, see, this expert doesn't know what he's talking about. Little did he know that at the end of the same column, Mraz was telling us how to put cheese and chicken in a crock pot. Oh my God, it was amazing. It's amazing.
Which flavor of meatball was that week? Was that Greek or Mexican meatball? Which one was that? Chicken parm pizza? Just chicken parm. And Brady sucks.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Thanks so much for being with us. You can always watch us at watchda.com. That's mobile friendly. WatchDA.com. Check us out there. Also, you can watch us on Twitch. Use the CBS Sports Radio channel to check us out. Mobile friendly each and every day. Desktop friendly. Tablet friendly. It's the telecast, the simulcast to watch the show at WatchDA.com. As far as sound check goes, we begin with Josh Heupel. Now, there's been many in the Tennessee community worried that the former Sooners quarterback could head back to Norman to take over that vacant Oklahoma job. Here is Heupel on the Eric Ainge Show.
As you build a successful program,
with your staff and players, certainly, you know, your name has an opportunity to come up for different openings. I just, you know, for myself and my family, we absolutely love Knoxville, and we came to Tennessee because of the power of the T, believed in the power of the fan base, and the opportunity to build something extremely special. It's a program that's top 10 in the history of college football, wins first round draft picks, you know, and had been through, you know, some uncertainty in recent times, but we love being in Knoxville. That's home for us. I love being in the building with our staff and our players. And I know, feel stronger today than I did 10 months ago when I first took the job, about what we're going to be able to do and how quickly we're going to be able to get there. I know we're building a championship caliber football team and program, and excited to continue on that venture.
I, like many people, were meh on the hire of Josh Heupel last winter. But you know what? He paid major dividends. And I don't think, first of all, I don't think that Josh Heupel is a significant priority for Oklahoma right now. That there's been some bad blood between the two parties, and I'm not sure that stuff is washed over yet. But secondly, I'm not sure Oklahoma's a better job. Now, this is kind of crazy because you'd say, well, Tennessee's been a dumpster fire for a long time, D.A. Oklahoma's been in the college football playoff four times in the last 6 years. OU has been dominant in their conference. But let's just think about this. Tennessee's already in the SEC. Oklahoma's going there. What's the recruiting footprint for Tennessee? There is a lot of five-star kids and four-star kids and top-end recruiting talent in the Tennessee, Georgia quadrant that you can pull from versus the state of Oklahoma. There's way more high-end talent in Tennessee than there is in the state of Oklahoma. Now, OU goes down into Texas to recruit, down into the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area, but you're going to be at Oklahoma, a Johnny-come-lately into the SEC, where the next couple of years, it might be difficult to get kids on board knowing that they're, quote, wasting time in the Big 12 until you get there. So if you're Tennessee and you're already building something, hey, we're here, we're established, we know what our challenges are. Tennessee historically, you know, is every bit as good as Oklahoma besides the last 15 years. So, you know, OU has been much better for the last 15. But I don't know if Tennessee's a worse job if you're Josh Heupel. So, frankly, it does not surprise me that Heupel's distancing himself from that gig. Here is Lincoln Riley as he's introduced at USC why this was a no-brainer.
Everything intrigued me. It did. I think the location, I think the history of the program, I think the opportunities here to recruit and build a national championship level roster.
Well, all of that stuff obviously is what we've talked about the last couple of days, so no need to go back over it. That's all pretty clear. I mean, your recruiting footprint is amazing. You've got history. You've got a conference that's wide open right now. You can wake up and roll out of bed and get 9 or 10 wins. So all of that seems like the obvious reason. And the other obvious reason is they paid him so much money, they bought both of his houses. He had two houses in Norman. They bought them both. Must be nice. And finally, here's Nikola Jokic. Now, Heat fans were booing him on Monday night. Remember that Jokic and Morris had that friction, and so then the Jokic brothers opened up the Twitter account. Here's why it didn't bother him.
I play in Serbia, brother. I play in Serbia, so I wish you guys can feel that.
Did he say I played in Serbia?
Yeah, I played in Serbia. Pause. I played in Serbia, brother. I wish you guys could feel that.
Yeah. So a little booing from over-tanned, you know, snowbirds in Miami outside of Coconuts, the nightclub, is not exactly something that's going to intimidate Nikola Jokic. He's like, I'm from Serbia. So guy with a weird hat comes in with a, you know, three shades of tan too dark. You think I care that that guy's booing me? Like, that's a joke compared to Serbia. It's a joke. Like, wasn't there a game that Pitino coached in Greece where they set fires in the arena during the game?
That sounds right.
So, yeah, booing from a bunch of fans that showed up midway through the second quarter didn't exactly affect Nikola Jokic. And that is your sound check. Standing by with a headline of this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogus, Shea B. What do we got?
DA, Cincinnati stayed unbeaten. Alabama almost lost at Auburn, but the Bearcats remain behind the tide in the latest college football playoff rankings. The list again begins with Georgia, then Michigan after finally beating Ohio State, then Bama and Cincy, then OK State and Notre Dame. Committee Chair Gary Barta said last night Brian Kelly's exit did not hurt the Irish this week, but could definitely factor in to the final rankings released on Sunday. College hoops, Duke stay at number one. Will last only a week. The Blue Devils squandering a 15-point second-half lead at Ohio State, losing 71-66. The Buckeyes shut out Coach K's team for the final 4.5 minutes.
Played really hard. They played really good defense. I thought they wore us out. I thought we were worn out at the end.
Paolo Banchero, just 14 points, 4 of 14 from the field. Number two, Purdue, no such issues, pounding FSU 93-65 to reach 7-0 for the seventh time in program history. And number 13, Tennessee, hammered Presbyterian 86-44. Pro Poops, the Suns, took their showdown with the Warriors 104-96 in Phoenix. That's a 17-game win streak. Those two play again Friday in San Francisco. With LeBron and COVID protocols, the Lakers dumped the Kings 117-92. And the Nets topped the Knicks 112-110 on free throws with 2.2 seconds left, not from Kevin Durant, not from James Harden, but from a man named James Johnson.
Oh.
By this time tomorrow, Major League Baseball might be ground to a halt. The current CBA expires just before midnight, and while there were negotiating sessions yesterday, there is basically no optimism for a deal today. The Marlins busy yesterday trading for Rays All-Star third baseman Joey Wendell and dealing catcher Jorge Alfaro to the Padres. After a single season record for points, the New England Revolution don't even make the MLS Eastern Conference final. They lose on PKs at home last night to NYCFC. They'll play at the Philadelphia Union on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sunday. A somewhat historic comeback last night in the NHL.
Center of the blue line, Ekblad, right circle. Huberdeau looks across. Here's Reinhardt shot, and he scores! A power play goal for Sam Reinhardt. He beat him short side, and the Panthers have taken a 5-4 lead with 14.4 seconds on the clock. They've come all the way back here in the third period.
And they down the Capitals 5-4 after being down 4-1 entering the final period. NHL teams had lost 303 consecutive games when trailing by three or more through two periods. And the league has suspended winger Brendan Lemieux 5 games for biting Ottawa's Brady Tkachuk on the hand during a fight over the weekend. The NHL careful to point out in the announcement that the suspension, while Lemieux might have bitten Tkachuk multiple times, the punishment is only based on the first one because that one they can clearly see on video. The others might not have happened, but this is a one-bite suspension, 5 games for Kings winger Brendan Lemieux. DA, back to you.
I think I might have had the story slightly wrong. I thought that the Greek fans were setting fires inside the arena when Patino was coaching there. Maybe they were just smoking. Cap has dug up this article from a couple of years ago. Patino saying, I smoke cigars at a golf course, but there's nobody else around. When you're in an arena and 10,000 fans are smoking and the players are choking, sooner or later you have to say, hey, man, we're at an athletic event, and I'm going to discipline myself and wait until halftime. And I'm going to go out and blow my brains out with cigarettes. Hey, that's your option. But when there are athletes and little kids who want to come to the game, these people don't care about young people. They're just being selfish.
Listen, maybe there weren't fires in Greece, but I've talked to guys that play in Europe, and they all have stories about how nasty and crazy, like needing armed escorts into the arena before games. Like, it is madness. It's not Miami, that's for sure, from Jokic.
I mean, like, Miami might be the least imposing fan base in the NBA.
Right.
And let's say, I don't know, what's the most imposing? OKC? Philly? I mean, what's a fan base? Sacramento with the Cowbells used to be. I don't know what road trip is it really deafeningly loud and you're like, wow, I don't want to play there. I mean, Old Market Square Arena in Indiana was great.
But none of them are dangerous.
Well, no, I'm just saying, what's the toughest road trip, road game in the NBA?
I mean, I don't know, because is there, like, there's not even one that has fake sports danger involved. I mean, they're mean in Philly, I guess, but I mean, they could yell mean things in New York, but I mean, right.
Detroit after the malice, but that doesn't happen anymore.
Right.
I'm just bringing this up because, like, there isn't an NBA road trip where you're like, whoa, I don't know about trying to win there. In Serbia, whatever the worst is of the NBA is the best case in Serbia. And Miami is probably the best road trip for players, because they're like, great road trip, great weather, be at the beach, and the fans are not intimidating at all. So, like, yeah, when Jokic is like, oh, man, when he's asked, how'd you handle the booing in Miami? He's like, the booing in Miami? This is like the best road trip ever. This is like the easiest thing of all time. This is like playing in, like, kindergarten.
Right, the hardest crowd reaction is people counting against Giannis at the free throw line.
How about this, though? Patino saying 10,000 people are smoking and the players are choking on the floor. Wait until halftime and, quote, go out and blow your brains out with cigarettes.
I'm just picturing the towel boys coming and wiping ashes off the court.
Imagine, I mean, this is like a Pan Am flight from the 50s.
And as Cap writes on Twitch, Jody Mac, big Euro Ball fan.
Jody missed his calling all these years. He should be over there hosting shows.
Jody's like the guy to get the crowds fired up with the big gong. Or the big signs, and he's like on the sideline with a big picture of a cigarette, like, light him up! Well, light him up!
That's how you get the sixth man thing. You got Jody up in the canopy, he's lighting a 7-foot-long cigarette like it's the skull thing at Viking games.
We have that woman that, like, balances dishes on her hands while she's on the unicycle. Jody has like 80 cigarettes in his mouth, letting them all at once. That's his halftime show.
Yeah, yeah.
Get up, fans! It's time to smoke them!
Jody Mac is on a unicycle with the 80 cigarettes in his mouth.
He's flipping them like they're on fire, like a magician.
Right, from his Panda's got the plates on her head. There's Jody circling her with the cigarettes in his mouth.
He flips,
Mr. Mandaloria.
Flips the burning cig from the hat into his mouth while on the unicycle. And then he gets the cigarette cannon out and shoots packs of cigarettes to everybody.
And wah-wah Randall Cunningham cups from 92.
Fans, get loud, and your section could get free cigs.
Those soft American shoot t-shirts. They're firing Marlboros.
Right into people's mouths.
Well, when you race the freeze, you actually race a guy that's smoking a cigarette and you're smoking a cigarette.
When your team scores 90 points, everyone gets a free cigar. Not free Chick-fil-A.
Yay. Oh, there goes another Jody Mac Sig cannon.
Instead of the thunder sticks, after the free throws, they're just smacking cigarettes together.
Smacking cartons of cigs together. Get out your two boxes of duty-free cigs and smack them together. The opponent's at the free throw line.
Mr. Mandalorian.
Every fan in Greece sounds like Jody Mack when they're trying to cheer for the Patino team. Yeah, all right, go. All right, go team.
I would have won. Well, he's...
Section 112, you're a lucky winner. You get all free lung transplants. Thanks for coming tonight.
Cap has listed all of the Giants podcast names. Mraz, I'm going to go through the Giants podcast names, and you tell me if you would swap theirs with G-Wiz and adopt theirs, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Let's do it.
Blue Rush.
Yes, I love the Blue Rush podcast. I think that's so simple and so perfect.
Big Blue Kickoff.
That feels as cheesy as G-Wiz, so I'm out on that.
Too generic?
Too generic, yes. It sounds like a kid's soccer team.
Big Blue Banter.
I wouldn't love the name, but it's definitely better than mine.
So far, 2 for 3. You would swap out Blue Rush or Big Blue Banter for G-Wiz.
Yes.
Breaking Big Blue.
Yeah, because it's a Breaking Bad playoff. Absolutely, I'd switch in a heartbeat.
Maybe just Breaking Blue. Breaking Big Blue?
Oh, do you think I could do Breaking Blue? Will I get away with that?
Sure.
Huh. Okay.
That's better. Breaking Blue is better than G-Wiz.
Would the Breaking Big Blue people be unhappy if I went Breaking Blue? We'll see.
Oh, yeah, that's probably a little too close for them. Only a Giant.
Of course I would switch it, considering I pitched this name and had no idea it was already a podcast.
What's the reference?
Well, there was a song in the early 90s, late 80s. Basically, it was like a Giants pump-up song. You know, it was proud to be a New York Giant, only a Giant. I remember Eli Manning ended his speech by saying, once a Giant? No, only a Giant.
Oh, so this was an Eli Manning reference after a song in the 90s?
Yes, exactly.
A Giants song in the 90s.
Yes, and Strahan also gave you an Only the Giant this week, Only a Giant this weekend when his number was retired. It's becoming a thing.
Oh, that guys spend their entire career with the Giants and are proud of that.
Yes, yes.
Okay, All In with Art Stapleton.
Well, Art, I'll give him credit. He played off rhyming in with Stapleton, and All In was there saying in 2011. Here's the problem. I would not trade that in there because it just wouldn't work with my name.
Right.
G-Wiz is better.
Okay. How about jawing about the G-Men?
Too wordy, D.A. That's a miss. That would be a big miss if you gave it to us as a headline. It's a miss here. No way. G-Wiz is better.
Big Blue View.
Yes. Again, that's one of those, it's better, but not by much. But yeah, I would make the trade. I'd give up a six-rounder for it.
Bleeding Blue.
Love the Bleeding Blue. I think that's absolutely perfect. It's quick. It's alliteration. Yes, no doubt I change it.
Giant Take.
No. Sounds too much like First Take, and it sounds like I'm trying to be something. I'll stick with the cheesy G-Wiz.
And finally, perhaps my favorite, An Inconvenient Bluth.
So, I had no idea that this podcast existed. This was not one of the names I knew existed of Giants podcasts. I have to look up who hosts this, but I love it. I probably would give up maybe the deed to my house to change with this name.
The Inconvenient Bluth?
It is so good. That is so, so good.
Bluth isn't a word.
But truth is, and it rhymes with truth. That is so up my alley. It's so up my alley that it makes me feel like I created it for them.
Gee Whiz is much better than that one.
No, I disagree. You're saying bad trade if I trade a deed to the house.
A very bad trade.
With all due respect, and I'm all for smaller podcasts, people growing, people doing what they love, the hobby of talking about your favorite teams. How many downloads could 12 different All Giants podcasts get? I mean, how many people
more
are
than
listening
mine.
to Giants podcasts? I mean, seriously, if the top ones get a couple of thousand downloads a week, tens of thousand downloads a week, I'm not sure. I mean, I can't imagine it's more than 20,000 downloads a week. The number one, what could numbers 7 through 12 get?
Exactly, especially for a bad team where people don't want to hear about them in general.
I mean, really?
Well, I could tell you, DNA, I've no problem hiding the numbers here. I am just looking at my most recent podcast from last week, 202 downloads a week later. And I am not high up that leaderboard. I'm trying like heck, but I'm not a top five podcast yet, and I'm getting 202. So know the top five got to get more than that.
And do you have any idea where you rank amongst the Giants podcasts?
I was told, and again, I could be way off and somebody could have just lied to me to get me out of asking, that I was in the top 10. But again, if there's 12.
12?
Super.
12,
I'm in the first four out of Giant podcasts.
My God.
But I understand how that sounds.
There's 12 Giants podcasts, and the boss has told you were in the top 10?
So, two ways to look at it. Top 10 or third from last. Which one want to go to? So let's go with top 10.
Well, again, that could be six. I don't know. We'll see. But I know my most downloaded one this year happened after they beat the Saints. So the point is, when the team stinks, nobody wants to hear about it. People don't want to hear it on the radio, let alone go out of their way to click on a podcast.
And when they stink for the seventh or eighth year in a row, they really don't want to hear about
right,
it.
Right, exactly.
Let's just say you're seventh with 200 listens a week. What does 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12 get? 12 listens a week?
196?
Four listens a week? I mean,
there's got to be 10 nut jobs who listen to all of them somehow.
You think?
Yeah, I mean, but that's saying a lot because I certainly wouldn't, and you would think I'm one of the nut jobs.
Like I said, I admire the hustle. I admire just doing something for the love of it, not caring what the podcast numbers are. But it always strikes me like the podcast landscape is so cluttered. It is so stuffed. You can't even find anything that you would want. Like if you hoping to find a podcast that maybe was a super niche thing of something that you loved, you might never be able to even find it because there's no great way to search these things out. And then you get to one that you think you might like and you realize they haven't uploaded a new podcast since 2017. That there are 12 different groups of people that said, let's only talk about one of the five worst teams of the NFL and let's do it every single week. Every single week throughout the year are most of these.
Yes, and that's the thing. And it's painful. This season ends. I got to keep rolling. I got a contract for this thing, DA. What am I talking about in February? I'm going to bogus on? Like, what am I going to do?
Like, the one thing that you could do is separate yourself. I'm not saying you specifically. I'm just saying one of these 12 podcasts or all of the 12 podcasts. Like, when I got into this industry, it was, I can't be like everybody else because I'll never make it anywhere. I have to be different, which is why I like to put on display the eccentric side of my personality, my sense of humor, why I think I'm different, why this is a spaceship, why we play funk music, why we You know, we do things differently. We have a lot of bits. We have a lot of music. We have a lot of production because I never wanted this to sound the same. We're not just going to debate whether, you know, Dak Prescott should be the starting quarterback of the Cowboys. That's obviously not much of a debate right now. But I'm just saying, like, we can't do that and stand out. If you're a Giants podcast, how do you think you're going to stand out amongst 12 different podcasts if all you do, you're just one of a million inconvenient Bluths? I mean, you might as well.
That is horrible.
Take a game from the past and break it down. Take an old player. Just interview former players. You know,
I like that idea for February.
X's and O's. Like, you take the all 22s and, like, you find an angle that nobody else is talking about. But my guess is all 12 of these, all they do is just take a bird's eye view of kicking around the same Giants crap.
So basically, and this is where I try to be different. All they do is either have somebody on who covers the team that's not already them covering the team, talking about the team, or somebody goes way nerdy on examining the film. I try to just be who I am. I'm the fan that's going to rant and rave, but then I'm also going to always try, this is my point, because people are beating over the head with negative, I'm going to do at least 5 minutes of this very short podcast every week on positive stuff around the team so people aren't beating down with negative. But that's the only thing I can do right now to separate myself because it's all the same. I might do Mothership at the Movies with that Patton Oswalt movie where he's the big fan of Blue.
Good.
Big fan.
That would separate you.
Yeah. I've got an idea, Sean. Hear me out. Every week, every episode, you give a blue dip. So whatever it is, you make it blue, and you eat it during the Giants game.
You know what? You might be onto something. I could do the football food of the week on this show and then transition into a dip of the week, like when Frasier spun off Cheers, and I do the blue dip of the week. You might be onto that.
Right?
You should have a player interview you.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'm sure many would be interested in that.
Yes.
As they're running laps.
Or like every episode is named after a different food based on what the Giants did that week. Like, this is a Salisbury steak game. And this
But herein lies the next problem. Am I ever going to get away from the food and me being together? Is there any avenue in my career that won't involve me being a fat ass?
What I love about this is that just hearing all these corny podcasts has Bilotti just beside himself. Like, there's nothing more frustrating for you than hearing all this.
Well, I'll tell you, my problem with it is I'm not a fan of oversaturation with anything in our business. And that is the pinnacle of oversaturation. I mean, we got to have some appeal to people. We got to, like, Sean's podcast should be, hey, this is like one of five or one of maybe two podcasts that are out there, and we really put the effort into it. You know, in general.
This is a little alarming as Kaplan sends me a link to a list from feedspot.com, the best 25 Giants podcast. Best 25, by the way, the best 25, with the title, You Can't Handle the Bluth. And then here's the
come on.
The top 25 include Big Blue Kickoff Live by the Giants, Giants Interviews also by the Giants, Giants Huddle by the Giants. Now, these are for Giants fans. Big Blue View, Locked on Giants, Breaking Big Blue, The Giant Insider, Fireside Giants, Big Blue Banter, Talking Giants, Just Giants, Talking Big Blue with JQ, NY Giants Weekly, Talk is Cheap, a Giants podcast, The Shakedown Sports Talk Show, that's all about the Giants, NYG Giants Talk, Jawing About the G-Men, Only a Giant, The Inconvenient Bluth comes into number 19, Bleeding Blue at 20, Giants Rewind with Carl Banks 21, A New York Football Podcast number 22, Blue Rush number 23, Mraz's G-Wiz, and this was just updated last week, does not make the top 25.
Well, we don't know 24 or 25. It could be one of those two.
It does stop at 23, yeah. You're right. It does not make the top 23 for feedspot.com.
Two things. I think there's only 24 that exists, so I'm going to assume I made it. Number two, herein lies another problem I've had in talking to people. They are really trying to push our app, Odyssey, which I totally understand. And as a result, for some reason, I haven't been able to get an answer on this, they will not push my podcast to Spotify because they want the downloads on their app at Odyssey. All of these other ones are available at Spotify and these other great places. So I am basically handcuffed to the idea of you want exclusive content, you go to Odyssey and you get G-Wiz. But it's making me come in at maybe 24 of a 24-round podcast.
Well, Carl Banks' podcast is in like the 20s. Yeah. What's going on there?
But that's pushed by the Giants. You can get that at those places. You can't find me on Spotify.
Now,
you
Carl
couldn't.
Banks doing dips, too. Maybe with you. That'd be great.
This website does give an email. If it says email is the type of podcast or blog. I might have to email him and say I exist.
That would be a great show. Carl Banks and Mraz doing dips.
Or Carl dipping Sean in something new every week.
Here's Mraz going into the chili.
Yeah, it's gravy for Thanksgiving.
Oh, man.
Dipping with the Giants with Banks and Mraz.
Pumpkin spice
That's
latte this week.
That's a good name.
Or who are they playing? They're playing the Dolphins this weekend?
Yes.
So we could do, it should be themed for the opponent. So you could do like a saltwater dip this weekend or maybe some kind of Cuban soup.
Crab
kind
of, dip. Yeah. Maybe,
yeah. Yeah. Some type of beans and rice in honor of Little
Havana.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're on to something, guys. All right. We're going to rethink this. We'll reshape the DA show and G-Wiz this January. We'll come out hot.
It's Deep Dipping with the Giants. Mraz and Carl Banks take you through the week of the Giants. Via dips. Bogue says our headline.
And they are sponsored by 5-Hour Energy. It's the one when you got to get stuff done. Pick up some today. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Having already missed 11 games injured, LeBron is now in COVID protocols. His multi-game absence starting last night in Sacramento. The Lakers down 9 at the half, so Frank Vogel did some yelling.
Today was one of those games. You know, we weren't given the necessary effort in transition defense. And, and with our pick and roll coverages, you know, which we talked specifically about tightening the screws on, you know, all day. And it wasn't there in the first half. So, you know, sometimes you have to let them hear it.
The Lakers actually got down 14 in the third before surging past the Kings, 117-92. Anthony Davis, 25 points and 7 boards. Russell Westbrook, 23 points and 6 assists. The Suns fought off the Warriors, 104-96, for a 17-game win streak. And just the Dubs' third loss of the season. Steph Curry, just 12 points, 3 of 14 from downtown. College hoops, Ohio State coming from 15 down in the second half to take down number one Duke, 71-66. Second-ranked Purdue cruising past FSU, 93-65. It is Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, and Cincinnati atop the latest college football playoff rankings, a fair amount of angst around the nation overnight over the Bearcats remaining behind the Tide despite Bama nearly losing at Auburn. The current MLB CBA expires at 11:59 p.m. Eastern, a lockout expected shortly thereafter, although the owners don't have to impose one immediately. It's their choice when to do it, but they think doing it will add urgency to negotiations. Players would only miss paychecks if this lasted into the regular season. NYCFC upsetting the New England Revolution on penalty kicks to reach the MLS Eastern Conference Final. The Revs had the best regular season in league history. And from the NHL, the Stars down the Hurricanes 4-1 for a 5-game win streak. The Red Wings a 2-1 win over the Bruins. That is the 3,000th victory in franchise history. And now, I think, maybe, he gets done.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Ahead of a rivalry game, it is commonplace to steal the other team's mascot.
This is 1954.
Sure. The Army-Navy game is now, or Saved by the Bell episode, the Army-Navy game is now 10 days away. So a few days ago, some West Point cadets went to a farm in Annapolis to nab Navy's goat. They had the right farm, but not the right goat. The current mascot is Bill number 37, but he lives with his ancestors, so the cadets actually caught Bill number 34 instead. All the Army has said is that Bill number 34 is home safe. At least this wasn't like 2018 when an Air Force Falcon was injured during a prank. Yeah. Stealing mascots has technically been prohibited by these service academies since the early 90s.
Think about having something prohibited since the early 90s and still thinking it's getting a rise out of people and that these cadets are still doing it. Like, why don't we have other pranks? These people are really smart. I mean, if you go to West Point, you go to the Naval Academy, you've actually got to be a really bright individual. These are not lunkheads. Why is this the best they can do with pranks?
It's the old lions still play on Thanksgiving theory. DA, people are afraid to break tradition.
Well, what do you want them to do? Sink a battleship? This is the safe, easy way to do it.
Wait a second. You don't think there's anything in between stealing a goat, the same thing you've done every day since the 20s, and sinking a battleship? There's got to be a different way you can prank the opponent.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do? Like, when they're sleeping, sneak in and put shaving cream in their hand and tickle their nose so they smack it with their face? Come on.
These are not the only pranks ever, Bogues. I mean, not every prank comes from a 1980s college film. I mean, there's got to be other things that people can do.
Chili pepper in their socks, I think, will be good.
Play the G-Wiz podcast.
This is on loop at West Point.
That wasn't right.
During practice.
Yeah. Hijack the speaker system.
Or Inconvenient Bluth. Play that one.
At the mess hall, all you'll hear is "you can't handle the Bluth" on loop. I don't know. This is just so tired. You're still stealing mascots? Like you said, it's a Stay by the Bell episode. I mean, can't you graduate past the same prank that Zach at AC pulled off against Hill Valley?
It's a good prank.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
The Giants and Mirage need Mike Glennon likely on Sunday to beat the Dolphins to keep their flickering playoff hopes alive. And Mirage, not shirtless in body paint in the bottom of our lobby, outside of our building in the middle of January. Who would you rather have starting a game down the stretch? Mike Glennon or traditional DA show whipping boy Brandon Whedon? 66% of you say Mike Glennon! Glennon's QBR for his career is 83.1. Brandon Whedon has not answered a text from Mraz all season after appearing twice on the show last season. Advanced Analytics tells us that Doug was one of Nickelodeon's first cartoons. Rugrats and Ren and Stimpy were the other two. And Doug was almost called Brian, but the creator felt the name Brian was too fancy. I think we all know that Brian in our lives that just feel a little too foo-foo, right?
That's an awful name, Brian.
You think?
Yeah. History would have been so different. I bet you the show would not have lasted as well if it was just called Brian.
Oh, are you saying the title of the cartoon is a terrible title or the name Brian is a terrible name?
No, I have plenty of Brians that are friends and family. I'm talking about the cartoon. A cartoon named Brian?
But a cartoon named Doug you think has more pull?
Well, first of all, Doug is one syllable. Brian is two syllables. So I think absolutely right off the bat. And Doug makes you think of doofiness. What does Brian make you feel like?
I guess that's true.
I would interwork. I think they made the right call there. I don't think Brian has the success. Imagine Rugrats was called Snot-Nosed Children. They wouldn't have had the same thing.
By the way, coming up in the Epic Fail, you will hear the Ren and Stimpy theme song, which is what we play underneath the Epic Fail every single morning. I just want to talk about last night's...
You just said that, and I thought to myself, does he think we have the wrong fail and we're playing? And now I realize what you were saying.
What do you mean?
When you just said, coming up with a fail, we'll hear the Ren and Stimpy theme song, and I thought, I cut a Jody Mack situation for a fail, not a Ren and Stimpy fail. And now
under every epic fail is the Ren and Stimpy theme song.
I forgot that. You scared me for a second, that's all.
A hat tip to one of my favorite TV shows ever. So just talking about last night's game, I did the show today in Boston at our WEEI studios, our Boston affiliate for Odyssey, because last night it came up for the MLS playoff game between the New England Revolution and NYCFC, New York City Football Club. And this thing had it all. Maybe we can cue up that last penalty kick, because this freaking game. Now, number one, the New England Revolution, I used to do sideline reporting for when they were on TV. Well, they still are on TV, but when I was working here in Boston for three seasons, I did it in 2010, 11, and 12. And the Revs play at Gillette Stadium, home of the Patriots. And I did the sideline reporting for the team for three seasons. And I love soccer, and I really like the MLS. I like the idea that we have a domestic league here in the States that's our league. You don't have to go to the Premier League or go to the Bundesliga or go to Italy or Spain for good soccer anymore. You know, the MLS isn't quite at that level, but it's good soccer. And I like that it's in our cities, in our town. So I always got a kick out of that. The guys are always great to me because they're not super duper stars. They're not huge millionaires like other professional athletes. They always treated me really well. In some cases, I made more money than them because they were young players and, you know, didn't make much cash. And it was really heartening to see athletes that could be so down to earth. So when I saw the Revs having a historically great season this year, they had actually finished with more points in the regular season than any MLS team ever. And MLS dates back to 96. So you're talking about 25 years. Nobody's ever done what the Revs did this year. And former national coach Bruce Arena runs them. So I'm like, oh, this would be great to come up and see a game. And the team invited me up there. And I said, I would love to take advantage of that. That's awesome. So we got to be on the sideline before the game last night. I got to be in a booth, a suite, where we actually opened up the huge picture windows with a bunch of people. So it felt like we were right in the crowd. And it was freezing cold last night. So it felt like you were really there and in it to win it. But also, I had a bird's eye view of everything going on in the field. And it was just so cool to see that energy. And the MLS playoffs are just really fun. They're chaotic and crazy and fun because now the format is one game. It's one and done. Every round, one and done. Last night, NYCFC comes in this crazy quirk of the schedule. The Revs hadn't played in 23 days. They're the number one seed overall in the entire tournament. Hadn't played in 23 days. They give up a goal in the first 3 minutes. We're not even in the elevator to go up to the suite, because we had been down on the field for pregame, and they already scored. So they're down 1-0. Eventually, the Revs tied up, send it to overtime. That's when NYCFC gets on the board in overtime. It's not a golden goal. It's not sudden death. So now there's a full 2 15-minute halves. The Revs have to tie it up with 5 minutes to play and the place just absolutely explodes. We go to PKs. And now we're down to the final penalty kick, and here's how it sounded on FS1.
Matt Turner needs a save or a miss to keep the Revolution season alive. Collins scores! New York City have pulled off the upset. They will play in the Eastern Conference Final for the first time in team history.
Really cool. Really cool call. The place goes silent. It's devastating. I mean, imagine being the number one seed overall and one and done. But that's what happened last night. But the game was insane. The pageantry was awesome. I love this time of year for MLS because it's one and done and it's really dramatic. It's good on TV. RSL had a crazy comeback against Sporting Kansas City the other day. This has been happening throughout the playoffs. So it was just really cool to be there. If you want to follow along with that story that I just told you and see kind of the images, the sights, and the sounds, I posted them all on my Instagram page. You can go there at Damon Amendo and follow along with the stories and see everything that I saw last night. It was a great night, even though the loss. It was a really cool night, and I appreciate the hospitality from them and EEI here in Boston for having me do the show up here as well. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. You know, last night, or Monday night rather, you had Nikola Jokic go down to Miami and he got booed, and he was asked, you know, how intense is that? And he's like, I played in Serbia, dude. So then we were talking about how in Greece, you know, Patino was complaining because everybody was smoking in the stands, and just how different European basketball is versus the States. That led us down the road of Jody Mack being a super fan slash mascot, and here's your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Jody's like the guy to get the crowds fired up with the big gong. Or the big signs, and he's like on the sideline with a big picture of a cigarette, like, light him up! Well, light him up!
That's how you get the sixth man thing. You got Jody up in the canopy, he's lighting a 7-foot-long cigarette, yes, like it's the skull thing at Viking games.
Good for her.
We have that woman that like balances dishes on her hands while she's on the unicycle. Jody has like 80 cigarettes in his mouth, letting them all at once. That's his halftime show.
Yeah, yeah.
Get up, fans. It's time to smoke them.
God bless.
Jody Mack is on a unicycle with the 80 cigarettes in his mouth.
What are decyclins?
He's flipping them like they're on fire, like a magician.
From his hand, he's got the plates on her head. There's Jody circling with the cigarettes in his mouth.
He flips.
Mr. Mandaloria.
Flips the burning cig from the hat into his mouth while on the unicycle. And then he gets the cigarette cannon out and shoots packs of cigarettes to everybody.
And Wawa Randall Cunningham cups from 92.
Fans, get loud, and your section could get free cigs.
Who does the old school, new school thing quite well, mixing today's analytics.
Those soft American shoot t-shirts, they're firing Marlboros.
Right into people's mouths.
When you race the freeze, you actually race a guy that's smoking a cigarette, and you're smoking a cigarette.
When your team scores 90 points, everyone gets a free cigar. Not free Chick-fil-A.
1, 2, 2, 7.
Yay, yay.
Oh, there goes another Jody Mack Sig Cannon.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
You know, on the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, I thought we might have a Jody Mack because they had you, well, Pete the Body Bilotti had you host on Thanksgiving morning, or as I shouldn't say they, that was Pete's call. And then on Friday morning, I thought maybe we'd get a Jody Mack. Did Jody Mack actually get a Thanksgiving at home this year or a Black Friday at home, or he just had another shift?
Well, he definitely had a black lung at home. My assumption is one of the four stations he works at, he worked on Black Friday, making him unavailable. Yeah, I'm not sure where Jody Mack fell in that schedule.
I believe he was in the afternoon during the holiday week, the Thursday, Friday.
Oh, okay. At least he's getting some sleep.
Just the image of Jody Mack on a unicycle smoking three packs as he fires up the crowd with a cigarette gun is just enough for me to really enjoy on my 4-hour drive home today after the show. Tomorrow, the 12 DAs of Christmas debut, and we will have number 16, basically, the first four out, the first one of the first four out. So tomorrow, Mraz, we can see the finish line on the year. This actually begins taking us right through the end of the calendar year.
Essentially, this means there will be 16 DA shows left until the calendar year, or at least till Christmas.
16 DA shows with all or most of us together so that we can respond and react to the 12 DAs.
Exactly. Not a lot of shows.
And then after that, it's the year of the buffoon and Festivus.
Boy. It's a Festivus for the rest of us. A holiday like no other.
December 1st begins the true revelry here on the DA Show, so keep it locked every morning and listen to every day's podcast to make sure you don't miss the greatest moments of the year starting tomorrow. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti and the Wheels of Steel and Audio director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA and the King of Spotify, the Sultan of Spotify. And also thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good to one another. See you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.